This one is handmade. So this is the one I shot, and I actually purchased this from a woman who is neighbors with my grandfather. And this muzzleloader was handmade by a gentleman who has since unfortunately passed away. And it is beautiful. It's a work of art. And not only is it a work of art, but it's also the most accurate muzzleloader I've shot. And I mean, the triggers on it are just crisp and clean. You're listening to the Muzzleloaders Podcast, the show where we talk about anything and everything black powder. How's it going, everybody? It's Darren with Muzzleloaders.com, and you're listening to the Muzzleloaders Podcast. Today, Chance and I are sitting down, and Chance works in customer service, and he has just really been getting after it. He's been working there for about 8 months, and still kind of new to muzzleloading, but he's been learning really fast and knows, you know, very knowledgeable about all the ins and outs of it, and he's been doing a great job there in customer service. So just to get some more like hands-on experience, we decided we'd take him out to our local rendezvous here that was just last weekend as of recording. And we got, I mean, probably at least 50 rounds downrange, probably more than that. So lots of experience and all that kind of stuff. It was a ton of fun. I always love going to rendezvous. I always feel like I learned something. The people there are always really nice, really knowledgeable, and nothing but the highest praise for people that go to rendezvous. So, Chance, let's go ahead and just dive right into it. So let's talk about the Le Grand Rendezvous and some of the stuff that was going on there. So what were some of the events that we were doing there?
Yeah, for sure. If I remember correctly, we started off with the rifle walk in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Had like 33 different targets or shoots throughout the course, and started out with that.
That's a long walk too. Rifle walk.
It is. And then we had the silhouette shoot, across the road that we did for a couple hours or hour or so.
Yep.
And then we came back and finished up our rifle walk. And then we did the hawk and knife throwing.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, a good learning experience. Might be the best way to put that.
Learning. I always feel like my hawk and knife scores, like, I'm not even sure if I ever want, like, I throw the course and I'm like, do I even want to turn this in? Like, these are some pathetic scores. I'm not good at hawk and knife. I really have a lot of respect for people who are good at it. We have a couple of excellent throwers in our local muzzleloading group here, and but I am not one of them. I enjoy the shooting. I enjoy throwing hawk and knife. But I don't pretend to be good at it. So, but yeah, I think the rifle trail walk was probably my highlight of the whole thing. We didn't get to do the pistol trail walk. We were having some malfunctions with it, and then we ran out of time. So it was just kind of like a kind of unfortunate thing. We weren't able to do the pistol trail walk, but the rifle trail walk was really fun. I feel like there were some easier targets, some harder targets, but I didn't feel like anything was really impossible. Sometimes it's kind of frustrating when you're dealing with impossible targets. So which one of those targets do you think really stood out to you the most?
Yeah, I would say probably towards the end. I think it was the second to last one, but there was a saw blade up on the side of the mountain. I don't even know how far. What would you say?
I think it was, probably at least 100, maybe 150 yards. Yeah, probably 150.
That's what I was thinking. And I was, you know, going into it, you know, since it was the last one, had the whole morning to kind of get dialed in, but still didn't feel completely confident, you know, with the open sights. And we were shooting up on a hill too, plus being that distance. So it was just, you know, odds were kind of stacked against us. But anyway, I ended up just kind of holding up to where I couldn't even see the saw blade anymore and ended up hitting it. So I was
winging a prayer.
Yeah, I was happy with that. And it was a good way to end the day off. So I'd say that for sure.
Yeah, I had to sabotage Chance a little bit because we had him using the Bridger Hawken, because it's one of the most accurate muzzleloaders traditional muzzleloaders that we have here in the office. And I went to get it ready, and somebody had taken the sights off and put other sights on to test them to see if they would work. And I was like, no, this accurate muzzleloader, the sights have been messed up. So I put it all back on there, and we got it to where it was shooting good, but it was
still shooting a little bit to the right. And I didn't know that. And so we got Chance out there. And like after the first five, he's like, man, I'm just not hitting these targets. I was like, I wonder if something's going wrong here. And so we just adjusted his sights a little bit. And then he started out shooting me. And I feel like, you know, after we got all that figured out, you know, he did outshoot me at the on the rifle walk. So, yeah, pretty impressive muzzleloader, impressive performance by Chance. Really exciting. So let's talk about like where the Le Grand Rendezvous is. So for those of you that listened to the show, you probably have gathered that we live in Oregon. You might even know we live in Eastern Oregon. So basically Le Grand's kind of in the northeastern corner of Oregon. And our local Le Grand Rendezvous is about 15, 20 minutes outside of town at our shooting range. And really kind of the perfect venue for a rendezvous, in my opinion. I've been to other rendezvous that are just kind of out in the middle of the desert and they're just dry. This one, you know, you're set along the river, so like your trail walks, you're actually shooting across the Grand Ron River, mm-hmm. which is really awesome. And I think it's the Grand Ron. That's the Grand Ron, right?
Yes, sir, yep.
Okay. I was like, I don't want to just say something stupid. Somebody's be like, that's not the Grand Ron River. Yeah, you're shooting across the Grand Ron River and, you know, hitting, you know, shooting at these targets and stuff. And it's just beautiful out there. And the silhouettes, it's nice and, you know, it's shaded when you're in the silhouette place and shooting, you know, at the 300-yard range. So really kind of a perfect venue. So Chance, I don't know if have you, was that the first time you've been up to that range or have you been out there before?
I've been up there a couple times just growing up in Le Grand. That's mm-hmm. where we did like our hunter safety at, was up the gun range. But I don't have a membership or anything like that. But just with you guys heading up there when we have range days and that sort of stuff. So not a ton of experience, but a little bit.
Yeah, we have been blessed with a really good range here. And that's something that over here we have some more room. It's really nice to have those ranges. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without them. So it was also cool because this rendezvous, I wasn't able to go to it last year because my sister got married on that same weekend. So I unfortunately was not able to be there because my sister's wedding is more important than a rendezvous, believe it or not. So the year before is the last time I'd been to this rendezvous, and it was just post COVID. And so the attendance was like, there was people there, but it was definitely down. And this year it was cool to show up there. And I mean, there was, I mean, cars stacked up. I mean, people had their campers. There was people coming from all over the Northwest. And it was really exciting to see that the rendezvous was, you know, on the up and up, you know. And there was, mm-hmm. I feel like there was a pretty diverse age groups there too. There were some younger people, a lot of kids. Some kids were actually showing us how to throw hawk and knife.
That's right.
Kind of embarrassing, but they were way better at it than I was. So, but yeah, it was really cool to see that the rendezvous was picking back up. So overall success. Chance, was there anything else you noted about it? Or
yeah, I thought it was really cool to see all the people out there going into it. I didn't really know what to expect, but yeah. And then I also thought it was like really cool and interesting how they had the primitive campgrounds for the people who wanted to do things old school or whatever.
Totally.
And they had their own little section, and it was cool just kind of checking their stuff out from a distance and seeing what they had going on. So
totally. Yeah, I think that that's one thing I do really like about our rendezvous too, is there is, it's not a super, it's not very, super strict with regard to dress and camp and stuff like that. So it's friendly to people who are newcomers, but there's also a traditional side of the camp. So basically if you want to camp traditionally, you want to go full into like 19th century stuff, you know, 18th century stuff, whatever, you can do that because they have that side set aside for you. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. And it's always nice because I don't have all of the traditional gear. Like I have a shirt and stuff like that, but I don't have buckskins or anything like that. So it's nice that I can still go and participate in that and still kind of dress up and have fun, put on the traditional clothing, but it also not feel like a black sheep because I'm not like fully decked out. So yeah, I think it's great. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So let's go ahead and talk about the muzzleloaders we used, because in rendezvous previous, I've used a muzzleloader that just didn't work out great. It was a Lyman Great Plains Hunter, and so the twist rate was too fast for it to be like a tack driver. So let's go ahead and let's actually start with Chance's muzzleloader. I want to do that first. So we'll talk about the InvestArm Bridger Hawk, and we have it right here. Go ahead and take that, Chance. Show everybody in the camera here. So if those of you, for those of you who may not be familiar, This is the Investart Bridger Hawken, and it's got really nice brass work, stuff like that. The reason that we chose this, though, is not for its looks, but because this is like one of the most accurate muzzleloaders that that we have here in the marketing office. Because I mean, it at 50 yards, I mean, we're shooting pert near a one hole group with it. I mean, it is just a tack driver of a muzzleloader. It shoots really good. We shoot 60 grains of Pyrodex Select and a just 50 caliber 490 round ball with some CVA pillow ticking patches, and we were using spit patches because I don't know if you saw it at the shooters meeting. Maybe you weren't there. That might have been the day that I went up before you. But our rendezvous doesn't allow grease patches because it's September and we have a lot of fires here in Oregon, so we don't use any grease patches. We have to use spit patches or some other like non-flammable source. So like, I think beeswax, I'm not sure what the other options out there. We just use spit patches because it worked great and we were getting good accuracy with them. So dries your mouth out a little bit though.
Yeah. Gotta stay hydrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you're shooting like, you know, 50 rounds, you're like, your mouth gets kind of dry with spit patches, but yeah, worked out good. How did that muzzleloader shoot, Chance? How did it feel?
Yeah, I thought it went really good. It was my first experience shooting a traditional style muzzleloader. So going into it, I was a little intimidated, but then getting some shots down range, you know, kind of eased that. And
totally,
we adjusted the sights on it too. We were getting decent groups beforehand, before we started the rifle walk, excuse me. And it was doing all right, but then we went out to the rifle walk and I just couldn't hit anything. It seemed like I missed the first five targets and I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And we just slightly tweaked the sights. So we to shoot to the left, I was hitting off to the right a little bit. But and then after that it got dialed in and
yeah,
I felt really confident in it after that.
So. Totally. Yeah, he was cleaning stages. So we did have a couple of issues with it. Like, so I think one of the things we were having failure to like bad primer strike. So I think what was happening is the nipples on the Invest Arms are kind of tight. They're on the tighter side. And so when there was more fouling that built up around it, we weren't able to get the percussion caps on there fully seated. And so it wasn't the cap wouldn't go off, but that was pretty much the only trouble we had with that muzzleloader was that.
Mm-hmm. And I think switching to the RWS caps too helped out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were using CCI Magnum, like number 11 Magnums, and those are usually really good. For some reason on that muzzleloader, it preferred the RWS caps and we were getting better ignition with that. So, but it worked out good. 60 grains, Pyrodex Select. I know a lot of people that shoot rendezvous, they prefer to use true black powder, which is totally fine. We actually use substitutes just because of availability and it's just what we have access to. And it works good, I think. So, yeah, cool. Well, let's go ahead and put that down and we can get to the next one here. So what we have here is... need your help. This one's heavy. So this is this one is handmade. So this is the one I shot and I actually purchased this from a woman who, is neighbors with my grandfather. And, this muzzleloader was handmade by a gentleman who has since unfortunately passed away. And, it is beautiful. It's a work of art. And not only is it a work of art, but it's also the most accurate muzzleloader I've shot. And I mean, the triggers on it are just crisp and clean, and it's a 58 caliber, so it's a large bore muzzleloader. It's definitely not like the traditional, like a lot of times 54 is kind of the biggest you'll see at a lot of the rendezvous. Sometimes, you know, there's certainly people that use larger, but 58 is kind of on the bigger end of things, and I was concerned that I was going to have trouble with it, like knock, you know, not because shooting the silhouettes, you're shooting those longer distances. I was concerned that I was gonna not have enough, like it wasn't going to be flat enough shooting, but that was not the case at all. I mean, it was about dead on at the longer range targets, maybe a little low. And I was using 90 grains though. I was using a little bit more powder because of that to kind of counteract that. So I was shooting high at the closer targets, but I was shooting about dead on at the farther ones, and it worked out really good. Did good on the trail walk, performed well. And it was just fun to be able to, you know, shoot with that muzzleloader because it was handmade. And you know, you don't see very many things like that. You know, it's one of a kind. There's no other muzzleloader like it. So it was really special to be able to take that out, especially since that gentleman has since passed away, and just kind of carry on his legacy through this muzzleloader. So it was a huge blessing. I was really excited to be able to take it out, and it also performed really well. So I don't have a ton of information on it. I'm not sure what the twist rate is or anything like that. I can't really tell you much about this muzzleloader other than, you know, what I was using. I was using 570 round balls with the same pillow ticking patches and 90 grains of Pyrodex Select. So it worked really good, though. Super accurate. So, yeah. Let's see. Is there anything else we wanted to cover from the rendezvous? I mean, honestly, we weren't able to stick around for the awards ceremony. I had a friend pick up, you know, the prize for me off the blanket table. And so I don't know exactly where we placed. Probably not great because we didn't finish the aggregate. So the aggregate at this rendezvous is you have the rifle trail walk, you have the pistol trail walk, hawk and knife, and silhouettes for the aggregate. And the winner of the aggregate, you know, wins a prize and stuff like that. And there's also blanket prizes. So in order of how you finished, you go and you pick up prizes off the blanket. But because we didn't finish the aggregate, I'm sure we weren't super high on the on the list of finishers. So I think we shot pretty well, though. I thought, you know, we definitely left some points on the board, which is disappointing. Sure. You know, especially Chance not having the sights figured out at the beginning. Come on, Chance. What the heck, man?
That's all right. Next time.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, considering all things considered, we shot pretty well. It was nice. You know, this is my third rendezvous. So being able to have a little bit more experience and just kind of like, okay, you know, I definitely felt more comfortable at this rendezvous than some of the other ones. So
for sure. Yeah. I thought it went really good. I didn't really know anybody else there except for you, but yeah. Getting to meet your friends in the muzzleloader community was really nice. And the biscuits and gravy that we had on Saturday morning was second to none. I think it's the best biscuits and gravy I've ever had. So.
Totally. Yeah, definitely. So there's a couple named Louie and Leslie, and they always make breakfast at the rendezvous, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. So all the local rendezvous, they're kind of known for that, and they're just the most amazing people. There's something about rendezvous. You know, I've said it before on the podcast, but when you go to a rendezvous, I told Chance, like, running is like against the law at a rendezvous. Like, you're just kind of there. You're just, you know, it's like taking a sigh of relief. It's like breathing a breath of fresh air every time you go to a rendezvous. It's just amazing. I really enjoy it. Do you think you'll go back to another rendezvous, Chance?
For sure. Yeah. I would love to go back.
Next time we'll actually have to get the pistol walk done.
Yeah. So. That's what I was about to say. I have to get some shots behind the pistol beforehand and everything and
totally
go and have some fun.
I was really disappointed we could shoot the pistol too, because we had the new Plains pistol from InvestArm, and I haven't shot it much yet. We went out and shot a little bit, but we were having tendon pin trouble, so we just had to bend it a little bit. I got it fixed since, but I didn't have the ability to do it there, so we weren't able to get it done in time before everything kind of closed up for the day. So is what it is. You know, we'll go out, we'll get some more practice with it, and we'll shoot it next year. There's two other rendezvous around here. So there's one in Troy, and there's the Elkhorn rendezvous. Those are all about, you know, within 2 hours of here. And so I'd like to make it to, you know, as many of them as I can next year, but we'll just see what happens. So.
Yeah, sure.
Totally. Was there anything else you had, Chance?
I think that's it.
Sweet. Yeah, I had a great time with the rendezvous. I'm glad Chance could join me. If you guys enjoy rendezvous, let us know what rendezvous you like to go to. I know there's a lot in Colorado and places like that. So let us know. Make sure to represent your club down below. And thank you so much for watching. Be sure to leave a review. Let us know that if you enjoyed the show, especially helpful on iTunes, but it's also helpful on Spotify. Also, if you like the muzzleloader swag that we're wearing right here, the muzzleloaders t-shirts, those are available on our website. You can pick one up for yourself. Super reasonably priced, considering that most t-shirts these days are like $75,000. So
that's right. Yeah.
Go ahead and represent muzzleloaders, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Reach out to our customer service team. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next episode.